You know what that sound means? It's another episode of Game for a Movie where we ask, are you game for a movie? My name is Mike. I will be your host this evening. I am very excited to bring a very special bad movie near and dear to my heart to you guys. It's one that not a lot of people know about, but it's one that for a lot of reasons I've had on my list for a long time, and I want to present it to you. You do not have to see this movie. I'm actually encouraging you not to. So I'm going to tell you all about it just so you don't have to go through the same pain I did. But of course, first, I've got to tell you about what I am drinking. This is the Changemaker. It comes from Sugar Creek Brewing, which is a very good brewery. They have the Big O, which is a blood orange IPA. This is the Changemaker. It is a 7% IPA. It has a very vibrant blue can. It got my attention at the Harris Teeter, or at the Teat, as we like to call it. And yeah, it is a very good beer. I'm actually really lucky I stumbled upon it. It is definitely one I will have in the house again. We always have a beer on the show, or at least something to drink, because obviously we watch bad movies, and especially this one. It hurt because I was pretty sober to watch this movie that I'm talking about. And it was kind of a choice to be sober for this one. A lot of times, sometimes it's just I gotta watch a movie and I don't have time to drink or anything like that. This one was a choice because I wanted to see what it would be like sober, and I wanted to point out things that I definitely needed to have a keen eye for. So, a fun fact about me, I don't know if this is actually a fun fact or not, but I am from a small town called Downers Grove, Illinois. Why is that important, you might be asking yourself? Well, they made a book called Downers Grove, and it became a movie. That is the movie in question that we are talking about. It is The Curse of Downers Grove. The Curse of Downers Grove was released in 2015. It is about an hour and a half, and it is a mystery thriller slash horror movie. Perfect to get us started for spooky season, or spoopy season, whatever you like to call it. It is an 8% critic score and a 12% audience score. I can't say it deserves much better than that. So here's my thing about The Curse of Downers Grove, and obviously I'm going to get into details, tell you all about the movie, especially because I don't want you to watch this one. I want to make that abundantly clear. Obviously do it if you want, if you like to suffer like I do. But truthfully, what the problem is with this movie is the first three quarters of the movie was okay, and then the end just completely shot itself in the foot. And that's what I'm going to talk about as I go through the details of this movie. One of the critics' reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, which again, it got an 8% from critics' reviews, basically describes it perfectly. A messy hash of teen soap opera, stalker, thriller, and whatnot, whose titular, possibly supernatural aspect is basically irrelevant. That kind of fits. That's kind of perfect in the aspect of that. So what do you say, let's get started talking about this movie about my hometown of Downers Grove, Illinois, that takes place nowhere near Downers Grove, Illinois. The first thing I wanted to point out that the director, his name is Derek Martini, and that feels about right for this movie. I don't know anything about Mr. Martini. All I know is that he makes a mean cocktail and that I should have had a couple watching this movie. From the very beginning, it's obvious this town is a southern town. Like, it is not anywhere near Chicagoland area. And this film was partially filmed in New Orleans, so it does make sense for a lot of that in the houses you see and everything like that. And you got to remember that I grew up about 40 minutes from Chicago. We are very much like an affluent suburb of Chicago. We have a pretty decent population, not nearly as much as our neighbors, Naperville, if you've heard of that, but very much the same kind of people, except for Naperville's a little more snooty, is what I would say. So it stands out immediately that these houses are like this southern charm kind of houses. One of the first quotes is, whoever named this town Downers Grove has a sick sense of humor. That is because it is named after a founder, Pierce Downer. Just so you know, it's not actually somebody who's just like, wow, this place sucks, I'm going to call it Downers Grove. It is 4 days to graduation, and it is also in black and white, so obviously this is a flashback. This kid is climbing the water tower, and then all of a sudden falls to his death. That's all we need at this part of it. It is a year before our action takes place, but it just shows this kid climbing the water tower and falling to his death. It also talks about how Diner's Grove is on an ancient burial ground, which is not true. But, you know, ancient burial ground causes curses, I guess. And it also has, like, this farmland, like, rows and rows of farmland that we don't have either. And then we get the news position. News position, if you've never heard me talk about it before, news position is when a character is, like, watching the news, or it's, like, a news report that kind of says, oh, this killer is free, and you get all of the setup of the exposition of the story. This is kind of done that same way, except for it's Google searches, and then I've called it Facebook position. Facebook position, there's a lot of, like, it shows the people who died and just, like, people commenting saying, like, oh, I miss you so much, everything like that. And we learn through a monologue that the curse of Downers Grove is basically every year before graduation, a senior of the high school class dies somehow, some way. And it's always right before graduation. And the monologue itself is done by our main character, Chrissy, who questions if the curse is actually real or not, or if it's just dumb kids being dumb. It also doesn't go and say how far back it goes. It only seems like there's four or five people, so it could be very well that it is just dumb kids being dumb, happens to be the same time 4 years in a row. So there is a question, is this curse actually real or not? This is where we meet our main characters. Our main characters is Chrissy, who's played by Bella Heathcote. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. I'm going to say a lot of names, and as always, I'm probably going to say them wrong. Bella Heathcote is from Melbourne, Australia. She's actually been in a lot of stuff. She was in The Neon Demon. She's been in Dark Shadows, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, and In Time, that Justin Timberlake movie with the currency being time left of life and everything like that. She has a little brother, David. David is played by, this is going to be an interesting one, Martin Spaniers. Spaniers, maybe? Martin Spaniers has been in a couple episodes of True Blood, but the main thing that you may know him from is he was in Eight Simple Rules, the TV show. He was in 76 episodes of that. So that the people in this movie are actually, like, pretty decent. You might know them from something else. Obviously, this is one of those early stops in their career. This is 2015, mind you. And we also meet their mother. Their mother is not a big deal in this movie at all, because she is single and she is dating an astronaut. This astronaut has come to pick her up, and they are going to go to Vegas for the weekend. It is 5 days until graduation, and basically she's just leaving Chrissy and David on their own. She acknowledges the curse, and it's mostly because Chrissy is talking about it, and she kind of says, don't worry, it will be fine. I will also say at this point, it's very obvious to me, Chrissy is not in high school, this actress. She actually looks 30 in this. I think it's just because of the way she dresses or whatever, that kind of thing. Doesn't matter. It's just kind of what it is. But I will say, one of the things I think they got right, she was reading Catcher in the Rye, and we definitely read that in high school, so I think that was a good attention to detail there, at least, for one positive thing about this movie. Chrissy's friend is Tracy. She comes over, and David is interested in Tracy. David really wants to get with Tracy, who is played by Penelope Mitchell. Penelope Mitchell, another person from Australia. She was in the latest Hellboy. She's been in Star Trek Picard. She was in 13 episodes of Hemlock Grove. Again, these are people that have been in things. May not be, like, everything on their list may not be great, but they have been in things. Which is good to know that this hasn't killed all of their careers. But yeah, so David is interested in Tracy. Tracy kind of flirts with him a little bit, even though he's supposed to be 15 in this movie, and she is definitely supposed to be like 17, 18. You know, it works, whatever, it's fine. David also seems like he has a little bit of a little brother syndrome, where he's just going to be annoying in this movie, is what I thought originally. I am happy to say that David is actually kind of one of the better little brothers in a movie like this that I've seen before. Chrissy goes inside to get something, and they're about ready to go to school. Tracy asks David if Chrissy has seen the Facebook page yet. And David says, no, I don't think so, because she hasn't brought it up. I don't know what they're talking about with the Facebook page, but it's obviously something. So Tracy and Chrissy are getting back to school, and they drive past the local auto body shop. And inside the auto body is the young mechanic, Bobby. And Bobby is played by Lucas Till, probably the most famous of this whole thing. Lucas Till was in Monster Trucks. He's been in the X-Men movies as Alex Summers. He also was in, he was MacGyver in the MacGyver reboot. That is the important thing. He is a guy you'd recognize. And of course, I'm skipping this one, but he was Travis Brody in the Hannah Montana movie. So obviously a big deal. Bobby kind of sees the girls looking at him and he kind of gives a little wave. And Chrissy kind of admits that she's kind of been talking to him. So Tracy is just like, you slut. Oh my God. I can't believe this. You probably slept with him already, you slut. Like that kind of stuff. You know, normal girl talk and everything like that. But it's very apparent Chrissy has a crush on Bobby the mechanic. And looking at Lucas Till, I'll admit it, I might too, you know? Chrissy, Tracy get together with their girl group at the diner in town. And there's like four other girls, and it really doesn't matter. They're not important to the story because they have the one conversation and then they leave. But they're talking all about the curse and they're trying to figure out who is it going to be this year. And Chrissy basically then admits that she's skeptical of the whole thing. And Tracy is just like, you can't be skeptical. Like, this is totally true. And it's probably going to be somebody of this group because we're the popular ones. We're the popular girls, everything like that. They're talking about how last year, though, basically Chrissy was saying last year's accident was blamed on him being a meth head. Basically, that's enough proof for her. She's just like, well, he did meth, so it obviously was just an accident, that kind of thing. And they're saying, no, God has like this curse set out for people and everything like that. She admits that she doesn't really believe in God because her dad was addicted to meth, left them, and her cousin has bone cancer and all of this stuff. Basically, the four girls that don't really matter to the story anymore are just like so depressed by the statement and they just leave. While they're at the diner, one of these guys is just staring at Chrissy and just kind of looking at her. And it is these three guys from Willow Creek. I'm laughing at this because there's a town not far from Diners Grove called Willow Brook, and they decide to protect that town and call it Willow Creek instead. It's very obvious what it's supposed to be, but it just makes me laugh that they wanted to protect Willowbrook and not Downers Grove. They're just like, yeah, Downers Grove's perfect for this kind of movie. These three guys play for the football team. One of them is Chuck. He is one of the main guys we're going to care about. There also is Guy, because he's one of the guys. And then there's Ezra. Ezra doesn't really get introduced at all, but Ezra is there as well. So they get invited to this party, and Tracy and Chrissy both agree that they're going to go to this Willow Creek party. And so it's a big high school party. And remember, this is a high school party. I will also say this is something that never happened in Downers as far as I know. We didn't have big, like, extravagant high school parties that were all the rage, or maybe I just wasn't popular enough for them. It felt like it was always like a group of people that got together, hung out in a basement, and drank their dad's like vodka they found. This is like a full-blown party, like where people are hanging out outside the house in front of in the front yard openly drinking. It's obvious they're high schoolers and everything like that. I also love at this point that as they're walking into the party, all of the liquor is label-less, like there's nothing on it because obviously they didn't get the rights to it or whatever it was. It's just label-less liquor, but it's very obvious bottles like, hey, who wants some rum? And it's very obvious like a Captain Morgan bottle, but there's no label on it. So that definitely made me laugh. Chuck, the quarterback for the Willow Creek football team, he's played by Kevin Zegers. Kevin Zegers, again, another person that you'd recognize from some other things. He was in 10 episodes of Gossip Girl as Damien. He was in the 2004 Dawn of the Dead. He has been in 22 episodes of The Rookie Feds and then 3 episodes of The Rookie, you know, just because The Rookie Feds got canceled and everything like that. He was in 6 episodes of Fear the Walking Dead. Again, he's been in a bunch of stuff that you're just like, okay, I may recognize him from something. And he was also in, I forgot about this one, The Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. That's probably one of the more well-known things besides like Gossip Girl and stuff like that. So he plays Chuck. He's the quarterback, and he is doing like 14 lines of cocaine. Like, they keep showing him. They keep showing the interspersed shots of the girls slamming some shots and Chuck doing like lines of coke. Like, every shot was a line of coke. It was like one for one. I'll also say that Chuck looked 40 compared to some of the other like extras. It seemed like the extras they actually got looked like high schoolers. And then our main characters are not high schoolers, so they just look older by comparison in this situation. It's not that Chuck looks 40 on his own. Chuck looks 40 compared to these high schoolers that I think they got as extras, which they also probably only had like 15 extras because I think it's the same five people that you see every now and then. So Chrissy tells Tracy, because Tracy is about to go get more drinks, Chrissy's just like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Well, coming out of the bathroom at the same time is Chuck. And Chuck kind of like feels this electricity and starts making out with her immediately. And she's kind of like okay with it. They also have like these shots of like, it's like cross shot thoughts kind of thing. I don't know exactly what happens, but it feels like she's like seeing the future or something, or seeing the past. Like, it's a little bit of everything. Like, all of a sudden she just starts doing it. And then Chuck starts getting really handsy. And so Chrissy is trying to get away because she's like, stop, stop, stop. And finally, Chuck basically is trying to force himself on her. And she's like, stop. And finally, she sticks her thumb in his eye and blinds him and like pushes through and just absolutely blinds his one eye. And as he's howling in pain, she runs away. She calls Tracy to get out of there. And luckily, Tracy listens and picks her up in the car. And Chrissy says, you're fine. Or Tracy says, you're fine, you're fine. And she goes, I just poked some guy's fucking eye out. It's far from fine. So that was just a line I thought was pretty funny because it's not a very good read. All of these lines are very melodramatic reads and everything like that. I think it's just, I don't think it's the actors. I really don't, because like I said, all of these people have been in a ton of other stuff. But because this writing is so like ham-fisted, I feel like the lines are kind of read like a little wooden. And it's just more so because the lines are written poorly, not because the actual acting is bad. So they begin getting chased by the Willow Creek boys. Like, they're trying to catch up with them. And Chrissy chucks something outside the window at their car to run them off the road and they can get away. The next scene, Chuck is seeing his dad. And his dad is played by Tom Arnold. And I'm not joking. It's that Tom Arnold. Like, and I was kind of, oh God, I can't stand Tom Arnold. He is definitely one of those actors, and I think a lot of people would actually agree with me on this. I can't stand Tom Arnold. I think everything he does is kind of just hokey and bad and everything like that. Well, luckily in this movie, you don't have to deal with him much, but he's Chuck's dad, and he's just the essential football dad. Like, he's, you ruined your whole career. Now you're never getting out of this crappy town. You know? And instead of, you know, helping Chuck, whose eye is bleeding profusely, he just starts beating up on him because he's a dumbass that ruined his whole career for one night of pussy. That's essentially what he said. I don't remember the exact quote, but I do remember it being something to that effect. So Chrissy is now sleeping and she starts dreaming of the Native Americans because Downers Grove was built on stolen land and everything like that. And David knows this and is a decent brother and is there to help her out. I thought this was still going to be that trope of like the annoying little brother and everything like that. I think David, again, was a decent brother in this film. I don't think he was the little brother trope that is in so many of these movies. So it's the next day at school and Chrissy is talking with her friend Ian. Ian has been friends with her since kindergarten, definitely has a crush on her. You can kind of feel that. And they went to prom together as friends and she got drunk and kissed him. So there's a little unrequited love there, but they're like talking about what happened and Ian's trying to make her feel better. He also laughs like Jonah Hill from War Dogs. So he's an interesting character. He's a very weird character. He's played by Mark L. Young. Mark L. Young has been in Sex Drive, We're the Millers, Movie 43. Two of those three, meh. One of those three, pretty damn good. So, you know, that's him. That's Ian. So Chuck shows up to the school and he's wearing an eye patch. And Chrissy says to Ian that she's going to handle it. And David also sees what's happening and comes up and joins Ian to, like, kind of keep an eye on the whole situation. Basically, Chuck blames her for everything. She ruined his life, everything like that. And Chrissy's just like, you tried to rape me. And he goes, I didn't try to rape you. I remember it completely differently. Well, David steps in between, asks for a ride from Ian. And David's basically just trying to get Chrissy out of that situation, everything like that. Chuck calls him David and knows he's David. And then also, to add insult to injury, apologizes about their father being a meth head and walking out on them. So he's learned a lot about this family. So it gets a little creepy. Like, he's done his research and knows a lot about them. This is enough that David's just like, no, we're getting out of here. So they leave, they get a ride, and basically somehow Chrissy ends up at the auto body shop. And she actually knows Bobby a lot better than we originally thought, because she goes over to tell him what happened in the whole situation. And we find out they've been talking for months, but Bobby is just kind of like, well, why'd you go to this party if we've been talking for months? And she's like, well, you never asked me out, so I didn't feel like I was off the market. That's the end of that scene. That was the important stuff for that scene. There was more to the situation, talking and everything like that, because they have been talking. They've been having intimate conversations. But that's the only thing you really need to know. He's never asked her out. Well, that scene done, we go to Chuck, who is doing steroids, because of course he is. He injects himself and then immediately starts lifting. Like, it works immediately. It gets your whole body going. This is going to work right away. And it's just to show that he's very unhinged. And him and his boys, they end up going and jumping Ian, the friend. Chrissy is so sorry for Ian and just saying how she didn't want him to get involved, but it's just because, like, he was there to protect Chrissy when Chuck showed up at their school. After Chrissy is done, like, mending Ian or making him feel better, at least, she goes back home. And guess who's there? Tracy. Tracy is there with David. Yep. They're hooking up now because Tracy is into David, and he also is kind of like a little pot dealer, so they also smoke a ton of weed from this point on. And this is the part where she finally shows Chrissy the Facebook, because what did this movie need? We're teen drama. Of course we need to have a party at their house. There's no parents, and there's only a curse that they're all dealing with that's barely a part of this movie, but you know, there's a curse. And Chrissy loses it. She's so mad. She's just like, no, we can't have this party, especially not with this whole Chuck thing. Cancel the party. Make sure it's canceled. Don't let this happen. Everything like that. So David and Tracy are like, we'll try. Then the doorbell rings after that. And who's at the door? It's Bobby. Bobby shows up after this big announcement of the party and finally asks Chrissy out. Great. This is awesome. So they're going to go on a date. So for their date, they go to basically the teen cliche of like a lookout point that's like on a mountain above the city looking out and everything like that. There's a big CGI star sky and they're talking about the curse and everything like that. One of the things I wanted to get into on this was that there's really nowhere in Illinois that's like that. The second tallest point in the state of Illinois, and I wish I was joking about this, but it may have changed since I've been there, but for the longest time it was a trash dump. The highest point was Sears/Willis Tower. The second highest is a trash dump. We don't have these like mountains that overlook everything and that kind of thing. It is very flat. So that they have this lookout point and that they're hanging out with this CGI star sky, you know, it's just teenage cliche kind of thing. They're talking about the curse and everything like that. And Bobby is just kind of like, I don't really believe in it. And Chrissy and him kind of like, you know, they're vibing over this fact, and this is enough that they start making out. And Bobby is actually very, like, he's not trying to take it too far, that kind of thing, because he knows what just happened with Chrissy and Chuck. We can't just have a makeout session, though. No, Chuck shows up. How does he always know where Chrissy is? there was no clue even that Bobby was in the picture, let alone that he was taking her out on a date. But somehow Chuck knows exactly where they are. Chuck wants to talk to Chrissy, and Chrissy agrees to talk to Chuck, but mostly just to figure out what happened to Ian. Chuck claims he didn't do anything to Ian or anything like that, and also claims that he's had this dream and he sees Chrissy in it, and that she is the one for him, and that she's supposed to be with him, and that they're supposed to be together and everything like that. Basically, Chrissy tells him to stay away, hops into Bobby's car, they drive away. And they go to the police to try to report him for the rape, also that he is following them. Problem is, they aren't going to do anything about it. And you're probably thinking to yourself, why? Well, because Chuck's dad, Tom Arnold, is Charlie Whitmore, a cop. And not only just a cop, like a famous cop. Like, he is one of the be-all, end-alls. And so they're going to watch out for their own. So they really can't do anything because it's a he said, she said situation. And because they don't want to press charges against a cop's son. By the way, that sheriff is played by Stephen Martini, who I'm going to guess, I haven't looked it up and I don't really want to. I'm guessing he's related to Derek Martini, the director. I'm not going to look it up. I don't really care enough, but I'm just going to guess so. Well, Tracy agrees to stay over and watch over Chrissy, and so does Bobby if she wants him to be there. Bobby does have to work late, but Bobby will come back. After work and everything like that, Bobby comes back, and Bobby and Chrissy, they stay in the same bed, and they have the stipulation, no sex. And I just wrote that down for some reason. It really doesn't make that big a difference because truthfully, nothing happens. So the next day when Chrissy goes to school, she's walking up to her locker and she sees that it's just been blown to smithereens. Like, there's nothing in it. It is just absolutely a crater blown up. And so she's kind of starting to believe that maybe she's the one that is going to be the victim of the curse. That it's starting to feel that way, where like there's these signs and everything like that. So she's starting to think that. At this point, I guess, though, I said that I think it's going to be a curveball. I think this whole movie has been trying to get us to focus on Chrissy, and then all of a sudden it's going to be like Tracy, or it's going to be Bobby or somebody else. I don't feel like it's going to be Chrissy at this point. Who knows? I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but that's just what it is. Because she's still a little shaken, she asks Ian to drive her home. And this is the second time he's kind of mentioned that he's known her since kindergarten. Like, it just feels like, come on, I've known you since kindergarten. And like, it's just, he keeps bringing up he knows her since kindergarten. And like, it's just, again, that unrequited love puppy of just like bringing up, oh, we've known each other for so long. Obviously, we can date now. That kind of idea. Well, she finally starts, like, she basically is just like, Bobby, we started dating, and the rest on my mind is the rest is PMS, and just walks into the house and away from Ian. So after this whole ordeal talking with Ian and everything like that, Chrissy is talking with Bobby, and Bobby basically convinces her that they should have the party. And it's mostly because there's going to be witnesses. Like, they'll stay sober, but they feel like if Chuck does something, he'll probably do it at the party if he knows the party's happening, and there'll be people to see it, and then they can handle him and get the police there. David is like happy about it and was talking about, and basically this sets up one of my favorite exchanges in the whole movie. And I don't know what exactly it was, but Bobby does something to Chrissy that like makes David really like him. And David goes, Your boyfriend is red. Chrissy goes, your girlfriend's a slut. I don't know why that's funny, but it just makes me laugh. Bobby, that night, because it's before the party still, it's a different night. Bobby is working at 3 a.m. at the garage, which, what garage is open that late? Whatever. So she's alone besides Tracy and David. And they all get woken up in the middle of the night by dog barks. So they're worried about their dog. They go outside and their dog is fine. And he like comes in immediately and everything like that. But like every other dog that's in the neighborhood is dead on their lawn.
Like there's 8 or 9 dogs in this neighborhood that are just dead. And again, it feels like to Chrissy that maybe this curse is real. Maybe this is a sign, everything like that. So I feel like dead dogs is a perfect spot to take a break. Not a perfect spot, but you know, the best spot I can do. So I'm going to give a shout out to our friends that got it correctly. So the people that got this correct is our friends, X Radio X, the music podcast. They have won before on the show. If you've not checked them out yet, why haven't you? Come on, get on it. You can find them on Twitter/X/ whatever the fuck we're calling it, at X Radio X One. Basically, they want to know, or they want you to know that they are radio nerds who talk about all things music and radio. It is Jason, Matt. They are great guys, and we are absolutely very happy that they were able to guess it again. So Jason, Matt from the X Radio X podcast, creators of Radio X News, the show, and former hosts of All Requests Saturday Night, Thrash and Trash Tuesdays, and more. You can find them, as I said before, at X Radio X One on X. That's funny enough that that's what it is. So literally putting the X in X. X Radio X podcast, Jason, Matt, thank you guys very much for playing. Matt always is guessing along with this one, and he was the first one to guess The Curse of Downers Grove, which I'm actually kind of surprised that anybody guessed this one. Like I said, this is important to me. It's not important to a lot of other people because it's just not that big a movie. After the whole dead dogs thing, yes, that is still a thing that happened. Chuck and his boys wearing balaclavas show up, and basically they are there to threaten Bobby. And Bobby is definitely like a force to be reckoned with. He's definitely the most in shape out of these guys, besides maybe Chuck. Chuck and him, it's a little bit more fair. And Bobby's just kind of like, stay away from Chrissy. This is not okay. Like, you've taken it too far. Chuck is just like, she's the one who took it too far. She's the one who ruined my life. And the entire time he's wearing this eye patch, and just, I keep thinking Pirate Chuck. But Chuck wants to fight Bobby like men do, where it's no weapons or anything like that, and it's just the two of them. And Bobby really has the upper hand. Like, he is crushing Chuck. But all of a sudden, it is also an incredibly dumb fight. Like, it's a lot of holding, and he throws him down, and he's just puh, puh, puh. It's like they got the choreography, and they're still testing it out. Like, they're still kind of working through it. Like, okay, and this part is where I punch you, and that kind of thing. Like, it seems like a slow dance in a fight scenario where they're working on this choreography together. And it's one of the dumbest fights I think I've seen in a movie, because it just doesn't work. But Chuck cheats and gets the upper hand on Bobby and breaks a couple of his ribs. And then his boys start kicking him too. So one of the biggest allies for Chrissy is going to be dealing with broken bones now. And then it goes to Chuck and his boys. They got back, and now they're snorting a bunch of cocaine, and they're ready. Basically, Chuck makes this decision because Chrissy took his life. Chuck's going to take hers. And like, the boys are, oh, yeah, 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 and everything like that. And one of them's just like, I'm going to fuck her friend and her faggot brother, too. Wait, what? What'd you just say? I have that as an exact quote, too. This is not words that I made up or anything like that. This is exactly what he said. I'm going to fuck her friend and her faggot brother, too. This is a weird way to find out you're bi, dude. Like, this is really weird, but okay, whatever. And so after sniffing cocaine and or snorting cocaine and deciding that they're going to do this, they also confront Dave and Tracy at the store. Downers Grove's not a big town, but it's also not a very small town. Like, there's two sides to it. There's two different high schools, everything like that. Obviously, in this movie, they've made it so it's just one high school, and that it seems like this small ass town and everything like that. Dave is really like, Chuck is easily able to find these people wherever they are at all times of the day and everything like that. So they confront David and Tracy, and David's just like, Tracy, get in the car and lock yourself in the car and don't open the door. Do not open the door. Basically, they're yelling at Tracy while they all hold David down and they break his arm. This is the part where I say that I like David. And usually I hate little brothers, but in this movie, he didn't give up Chrissy. He protected Tracy, and he's still throwing a fucking party, even though there's a curse and this stupid guy following his sister. Like, this dude, okay, he's got a good head on his shoulders. Look at him. So David now has a broken arm. The cops who are in the hospital with him, by the way, nobody called the parents or anything like that, but whatever. The cops who are inside the room, and even though David can identify them, still aren't going to do anything about it because he can't tell exactly who they were because they were all wearing masks. But Chuck took his mask off to make sure that he knew this was coming from Chuck. Like, you, even if it was that you can't identify them because they were wearing masks and you can't prove it was them, whatever, you can still prove it was Chuck. Like, that is the only one that you can definitely prove. And that one is probably the big one, because once you take care of him, the rest of these guys, they don't seem like they lead themselves. They follow the quarterback, Chuck. So why don't we try to arrest Chuck and stop this big issue? I don't know. I guess that's what, they're not going to do it because Chuck is dad of cop. I don't get it, but whatever. Well, Chrissy and David are in the hospital and they're basically like, we need to take this into our own hands. And David goes, you remember when dad taught us how to shoot with the shotgun? And she's like, I remember everything like that. Yeah. David's like, I still have the shotgun under my bed. Perfect. They've got a shotgun now. And so it's a montage of Chrissy messing with the dad's shotgun and learning how to shoot it right, even though she was taught by her dad, so it didn't take much to work on that and everything. So Chrissy is now prepared with the shotgun. We are one day to graduation, so somebody is going to die for this curse, plus there's going to be a big old showdown at this party they're having. So Chrissy goes to Chuck's and throws a brick through the window. The way she threw it, either it was going to go way over the target or it was just going to bounce off, because it wasn't thrown with very much force and it was thrown very high. But that's beside the point. Essentially, the brick has a note that says, come get me, motherfucker, essentially. Obviously, it doesn't say that, but I'm going to make Chrissy more of a badass that they tried to make her be, even though she definitely wasn't. So Chuck and his boys, they get ready and they're going to go to this party and they're going to take Chrissy's life. That's what they're going to do. So they're once again wearing their balaclavas, and Chuck shows up to the back door where he's immediately tased and beaten down by David. And that has to feel good. So he's like tasing, holding Chuck down and everything. And then one of the other boys cold cocks David right in the face, and David is knocked out. Chuck, after getting tased, fires two shots in the air with his pistol, and the partygoers all leave. They all disperse. Remember, those were going to be your witnesses, and so now all they've done right now is they've seen Chuck, and they've seen him fire. Another two guys are coming in from the front way, and Bobby is taking on two of the others, while Chuck holds Chrissy at gunpoint because she doesn't have the shotgun at this point. So Chrissy is talking to Chuck and basically says, I see it now. I see your dream. I know where I'm supposed to be now. I know where I need to be. I need to be with you, Chuck. I'm so sorry that I put you through this, everything like that. And Chuck is just like, yeah, you definitely did, and puts the gun down or puts the gun to his side and everything. And then, of course, she knees him straight in the balls and runs off. And then she grabs the shotgun. So one of these guys is on top of Tracy. Chrissy is able to take care of him with the shotgun. He done. So Chuck kind of gets the drop on Chrissy, but she's able to get to the bathroom and slam his arm in the door. So she like slams his arm in the door. He's like dispatched for a second. There's another door she's able to get through. Bobby is being held down by two of these thugs, and Chrissy drops them both. And he's just like, who taught you how to shoot like that? And then Chuck turns the corner. She realizes she's out of bullets, but he also dropped the gun because his arm was slammed in the door. So he doesn't have anything either. He's unarmed. What does she do? She just nails him with the gun and then keeps beating him over and over and over. Just, kuh, 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 kuh. And that's it. They're all dispatched. This is like 5 minute scene of five people getting just taken out by one shotgun, one girl, and two guys that are kind of fighting, kind of not, and Tracy, who definitely was the damsel in distress. This is also another reason why I thought, oh, Tracy's going to get like accidentally shot in the crossfire or something like that. That's what I'm still thinking. Tracy is going to be the one that falls to this curse, but nope, she's fine too. The police show up and now they can actually do something because guess what? The cop's son, he dead. He gone. So they can actually do something now, which is nothing because all these guys are dead. And so after the whole party and everything like that, Ian and Chrissy, Ian the friend that's known her since kindergarten, remember, Ian and Chrissy are on the swings outside just talking about, really they're talking about the curse and saying like, are any of these guys from Downers Grove? Because maybe the curse is over because one of them is from Downers Grove and is dead now. No, all of them are from Willow Creek. And she also talks about the fact that she basically got away with all of this because it was self-defense. Good for you. So this is where the movie loses me. And mind you, I didn't think this was this good a movie the entire time. But this is where it literally went so far downhill that it absolutely may have killed my soul a little bit. Ian thinks that's his opportunity to make a move on Chrissy and tries to kiss her. But basically, she's like, no, I'm into Bobby. Like, we're dating, everything like that. And Ian's just like, no, you don't understand. I love you. And she's like, Ian, go away. I'm into Bobby. And then he goes and snaps her neck. And it's like a second, not even. She just is alive, talking about she's into Bobby, and then she dead. And it shows us that Ian is the one that blew up her locker. Ian is the one that killed all these dogs and left it on her front yard because he wanted to make it seem like Bobby was the one that was going to kill her and that the curse was real. And the closing monologue, by the way, he was able to run away. And even though the police are on site dealing with the aftermath, there's still police sirens and everything. He's able to walk away just fine because nobody's looking at him. And so the closing monologue is just like, I guess the curse is real. What? And that's the end of the movie. And then they tease it like a sequel is coming, like what's gonna happen next year. I'm in pain from this movie. It is not as bad as a lot of other movies I've watched. The last one, especially, The Crow, Wicked Prayer, is definitely like the worst movie I've seen. This one was just okay. It was like mediocre. It was bad, but it was like okay bad. And then completely out of nowhere, it never deserved this twist. It never set up for it. Ian is on screen for maybe 5 minutes total of this entire hour and a half movie. And all of a sudden, he just dispatches our heroine because he loves her. And if, like, I can't have you, no one will. Like, that's the reasoning. That's what it is. And that's not a curse. Because, like, the curse before was all these people. I mean, like, the one kid crawling on the top of the water tower and falling off. Yeah, that's dumb. But it's an accident. And that's what a curse is. It's not like a person getting killed by another person is a curse. if he was taken over, maybe, okay, if that's your argument, but he wasn't taken over by anything. This was a, I won't say sane man, but this is a person who decided that if I can't have you, no one will, and I killed you, and now he can just blame it on the curse. While all these cops are there, there's got to be some kind of DNA evidence, because it's not like he was wearing gloves or anything. He had his fingers on her and like twisted her neck, snapped it quickly. And we see her funeral and he's there, not in handcuffs. He's obviously like still free. I just don't get that. I don't get that. That is not a curse in my mind. And that is a lot of what goes wrong with this movie for the most part. It is not a curse movie. It is a teenage drama home invasion movie. I think that is more so what it is. And the fact that you call it a curse just because you think it's a curse like this, that's not a curse. That would be like saying somebody like Jeffrey Dahmer is a curse. I get it if you say something like he was possessed or something like that. He was possessed by the curse. Okay, yeah, that's something. No, they never even alluded to that. This is just a man who decided to kill this girl for no reason. And then they just chalk it up to, well, it's the curse of Downers Grove. Wah, wah. So all that work that Chrissy had to go through, all of the people she had to take out, and she dies at the hand of a guy she knew since kindergarten, because he couldn't handle his unrequited love. Like I said, this movie was okay bad. It's not a good movie. I'm not asking anybody to watch this movie. I actually encourage you not to watch this movie. But that ending that they just tacked on at the end, I would have been happier. I really mean this. I would have been happier if all of a sudden she's like walking away from the carnage and then her mom and the astronaut come home from Vegas and run her over accidentally because they didn't see her in the road. Like, that's, I would have much rather had that, because that's a curse. That's an accident. That's something that happened that was a freak thing that is part of the curse of Downers Grove. Did I just create a better ending to this movie? Like, legitimately, did I just create a better ending to this movie? I don't know what to say at this point. Like, I don't know what to say about it. Like I said, the acting was mediocre, but I think it's more so a script issue, not an acting issue, because I think when you have to read these lines, it's not great. When it comes to things like CGI, they had that really CGI, like starry sky, which I didn't even talk about that. We're so close to Chicago that we never had a night like that where you can see all the stars in the sky and everything like that. If you saw three bright stars, that was a good night for stargazing. And especially somebody like me who likes to do that kind of stuff. I never saw very many stars. I had a telescope and would look for hours, and all that light pollution and everything from Chicago being only 40 minutes away, you didn't see shit up in the sky. Like that was so fake. And, you know, it's part of the hometown charm. It's supposed to be like a small town, that kind of thing. They did all these small town tropes that just drove me insane, because it's not my small town. And truthfully, we're not that small a town, so it's even worse to see these things. We don't have just like a one stoplight town. It's not like that. That's definitely part of the reason why I wanted to watch this. When you have a movie about your hometown, you kind of have to, just by nature. So I was very willing to watch this one. I've had it on my list for a long time because it is about my hometown, even though it was filmed nowhere near it. And even though I've heard the book about Downers Grove, the book that was created that spurred this story, wasn't very good either. So, you know, I mean, it's just what it is. That is the curse of Downers Grove, which is not a real curse. I don't think I ever knew a senior that died once a year in my classes. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's the other class. I don't know. Because there was another high school in that town. So maybe it was the Northside High School. What to give this movie? That is the question. What to give this movie? Because truthfully, like I said, it was okay bad. I think I want to give it out of five a 0.75. Like I want to give it a little more than half a star because for the most part, it didn't keep me entertained, but it did. It didn't lose my attention is what I'll say. So 0.75 cursed Facebook posts out of five. 0.75 Facebook posts. That's interesting. They gave up three quarters of the way through on this post. Just overall, because I can't stand that it's my town, but it's really not my town and all the things they did to change it. We're not a farming town. We're not really a, we don't look like the southern town that was definitely used as inspiration for the filming. And we don't have big old parties like that. It was a lot more basement things where you just like stole a bottle of vodka from your parents and just drank it all together and passed out, you know, or threw up and then passed out. So as far as I know, again, I wasn't, I guess I wasn't popular enough for the popular parties. So maybe that is what it was like with the popular kids and everything like that. I was popular enough and I didn't drink. So I don't think I missed any parties that were like, oh, we're going to party outside, out front, drinking in front of cops and it'd be just fine. That is The Curse of Downers Grove. It is the first episode of our spooky season, whatever you want to call it. I am trying to get, because there's 5 weeks this October, I'm trying to get five done. Obviously, there are going to be some hiccups along the way. So if you don't know anything about me, if this is your first time tuning in, whatever, my wife and I are pregnant and we are expecting our first kid this week as this episode is getting dropped. And that's another thing why I wanted to release this week. It is a hometown episode. I'm just in my feelings about getting our first kid and everything like that. So I'm going to be a very tired parent in the next couple of weeks. I'm trying to get ahead of it, ahead of time, so that I can release these. I'm going to try for five bad horror movies. There's a million and a half. So during October especially, I like this where I try to get as many as I can get done during the month of October. So I'm trying to get that done. I have some well-known ones on the list that are ready to go that are bad, bad horror movies, including I've already watched two of the other ones. So I'm going to try to record those two and get those done so that you can enjoy five bad horror movie episodes during the month of October. This is the first one. This is The Curse of Downers Grove, which is not a real curse, but you know, tried to be a curse movie. That's not a curse movie. That's a home invasion teen drama. Yeah. So Curse of Downers Grove. I'm glad that this curse didn't hurt any of the actors or actresses in this movie. They all got work, it seems like, after this. So good for them. They all escaped Downers Grove without being curse affected. So this has been the Game for a Movie podcast. I have been your host, Mike, from beautiful Downers Grove, Illinois. I will see you guys next time on the Game for a Movie podcast. We have another bad horror movie coming out next week. I hope you enjoy that as well. And thank you guys very much for tuning in to Game for a Movie, where we ask, are you game for a movie? I'll see you next time.